Thank you all so much for being here this morning. We're going to go ahead and pray as Mackenzie comes. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us be here this morning, God. We thank you for the abilities to come back and gather together, God. Lord, just let you give Mackenzie the words to speak that we need to hear, Lord, and apply it to our lives and take it out into the week. And Lord, just help us to be able to gather back together next week. And it's in your heavenly name that we pray. Amen.
Good morning again. I know this is the second week in a row Dad's not been able to be here, and thankfully him and my mom are starting to feel better finally. So if you'll just continue to pray for them as they just recover and they start to get their strength back and be able to come back to church with us. If you've got your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 5, we're going to be in verses 21 through 43 this morning. Before I start, so in our lives, most times, our plans and God's plans differ. Am I right? What we have planned doesn't always work out the way that we planned it to. My family laughs at me, and I've told you all this before. I'm one that I like to plan. Not necessarily I like to be the one planning what's going on. I just like to be the person that's in the know, knowing what's going on. And it gets so bad that even when we're on vacation, I don't like just waking up and then being like, okay, we're going to go eat like at 4 o'clock today. And I'm like, okay, where are we going to eat? So all day I'm like, okay, I'm thinking, what are we going to do? And then they say something and then it changes. And my wife, Melissa, and my dad, they're all the time just telling me, I just need to be and just let it play out. And I'm like, Dad, I can't. Something's inside of me. You're like this. You like to have control and know what's going on. And I get it from you. So it's just something that happens. But you know, sometimes in our life, things just don't work out the way that we want it to. And that's okay. Because things work out the way that God intends them to. And he's planned and he's purposed them to. Even in our lives when we think that things are going wrong, they're not. Because this is what God has got us going through at this time. And our God is a faithful God that's not going to leave us when the storms in our life come up, when hardships come. But God's timing is never wrong, even when we think it is. The title of my message this morning, it is God's Perfect Timing. And this passage of scripture here, Mark 5, verses 21 through 43, it's one of my favorites in the Bible because we meet two different people here. You see, and they're on total opposite sides of the social realm in this day. You have one that was a synagogue leader who would have been well respected by the Jews at that time. There was someone that they actually came to like for advice. They would tell them what to do at times. And then you have a woman that we're going to meet that was an outcast, that people didn't want to have anything to do with her because she was sick. And think about the torment that that poor woman went through for 12 years. Nobody wanted her around. And when they did, it was like she would walk over and they would leave. Like they just wanted nothing to do with her. But the thing that these two people, they have in common, no matter if they were rich or poor, Jesus is what's going to bring them together. And Jesus is going to heal both of them. And I love this passage because no matter if you are rich or poor, if you're sick or if you're in good health, you're young or you're old, the one that everyone needs in their life, it is Jesus. And no matter the cost, these two people knew that they needed Jesus' healing touch, one for his daughter and one for her life. So this morning, I want us to look at this and to see how Jesus, no matter the cost, he helped these two people. So let's read with me Mark chapter 5. We're going to go verses 21 through 24 to start. So it says, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and while he was at sea, one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, "My little daughter is dying. Come and lay your hands on her so that she can get well and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd was following and pressed against him. So this morning I've got a question for you. It's a church question. You know, you ask people and people ask you this all the time. It's a church word. What is faith? You know, in my mind, faith is placing your full trust in someone or something. You all this morning had faith that that chair was going to hold you when you sat down, right? Or you would not have sat down. We've got faith, if you're a Christian, that Jesus is going to be the one to help us through our life and guide our path and help us to get through life. But we believe by faith that Jesus came into this world and he was born a virgin. We have faith that he lived a perfect life, a blameless one. Jesus didn't sin the entire time. It cracked me up sometimes I think about it. You know, Jesus had a brother growing up, and my kids fought like cats and dogs sometimes. But I wonder if Jesus and James ever fought. I mean, I don't know. It says Jesus never sinned. He never did. He was perfect. But we have faith that Jesus, he died. He was that perfect sacrifice for us. And we have faith that 3 days later, he rose from the grave, giving us our salvation. And I have faith today that Jesus, one day, he's going to come back for us. All that believe in him and have put our faith in him and are walking for him, one day Jesus is going to come back and he's going to take us home. Here in verse 22, though, we see a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he came and he fell at the feet of Jesus, and he begged him to come and to heal his daughter. You know, a little background on Jairus. Jairus was one of the rulers of the synagogue, like I said earlier, and he was a ruler of the synagogue would have been someone who the Jews respected. And you know, it's not unlikely at all that Jairus had seen Jesus previously heal someone. If you read back and forth, they think that he was one of the members of the Jewish delegation that was with the Roman centurion who had built the Capernaum synagogue, whose servant Jesus had healed. So Jairus, I have no doubt in my mind, he knew that Jesus could heal, and he knew that's who he needed to go and get. But Jairus knew that he needed the Lord's power to save, but Jairus, he had complete faith. He had that faith in Jesus, knowing that he could change the situation, that no matter what was going on with his daughter, he could help her, and he could help her to live and to be good again. Look with me at verse number 22. Look with me at verse number 22 at what Jairus did. And it says, he came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell to his feet. You know, so let's step into his shoes for just a second. Have you ever taken something to Jesus in faith, knowing that he was the only one who could change the situation that you were going through in life? The only one that could heal whatever that you were going through, that could mend that and to make it good again. And have you ever been to the place to all you know to do is to just get down on your knees and to pray to him and ask him to help you? You know, as I was preparing for this, I was thinking, you know, we kind of went through the same thing with Elliot when she was born. I remember the day before that we had her, that we went to the doctor, and the doctor looked at her stuff that was going on, and he wasn't okay with her stats and her heart rate and all the stuff that was going on. And I remember that he said, you know what, if things don't improve by in the morning, we're going to need to go to the hospital and we're going to need to deliver because she's not trending in a positive direction. You know, that night that you go home, you know, the night before you're about to have a child, your heart's pumping anyway. You're anxious. You're not going to get sleep anymore for the next 18 years because you're going to be worrying about this little girl. And I kept praying. I was doing what Jairus was doing here. I was saying, I need you, God. I need your help. And I need her to be okay. So we went back to the doctor the next day, and things had gotten worse. You know, as a parent, your heart sinks. You're like, this is not how it's supposed to be. Before your baby comes into the world, you got problems going on. But I remember we finally got Melissa back to surgery. We got over to the hospital. There was a little hassle there, but we finally got into the surgical room, and they were going to have a C-section for Melissa. And all the nurses in the room and the doctor, when they went to get Elliot out, they just all gasped. And I was like, okay, something really is wrong. I've not seen her yet, but they're all gasping like something's wrong. And when we look at her, her umbilical cord had been wrapped around her neck 4 times. So as she was starting to descend, she was cutting off her airway. She wouldn't have been able to survive. And the doctor, he kept telling us, you know, Elliot, she is a miracle from God, because if Melissa would have went into labor on her own anywhere else, she would have died, that she shouldn't have been there today. And, you know, the doctor had, he kept saying over and over, this is a miracle from God. He's the only one that could have helped her do this. And, you know, I tell you this story because I personally know how Jairus would have been. I felt this way, you know. A father who knew that Jesus didn't intercede and would not have a well ending, that's what Jairus was going through right now. He knew if Jesus didn't come and if Jesus didn't intercede, his daughter was going to die. But in the midst of all this, if you flip to the next verses, I remember my grandfather, my dad's dad, Wayne, he told me these 2 verses that next day after Elliot was born. First one was Matthew 11, verse 28. And it says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The next one was Psalms 55:22. And it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteousness to be moved. So let me ask you this. How many of you here today have a heavy burden like these verses are saying? You've got something going on in your life that apart from Jesus, there's no hope in it. That he's going to be the one that's going to have to do this for you. you have things that are going on in our lives that are beyond our control, and we feel like we're sinking. I get like that. I know you all have to get that way too. Everybody gets like that. And we get thinking in our minds that there's absolutely no hope at times. The darkness is so dark that we're not going to be able to get out of it. But the Bible tells us that we're to cast our burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. You're not going to be able to sustain yourself, no matter how hard you're going to try. Apart from Jesus, there's no way that I think we can go through this life. You know, I looked up the definition of sustain, and this is what I found. Sustain is to strengthen or support physically or mentally. You know, as Christians, our strength comes from Jesus. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad our strength doesn't come from ourselves, because we fail all the time. But our strength comes from Jesus. And it doesn't come from anything else or anyone else. And without him, like I said, I don't know how people can get through life. That's why people try to push everything in their life that this world has to offer sometimes. You know, the money. People think, if I just had more money. Or they turn to drugs thinking that's going to satisfy me. Or they get into a relationship thinking, you know what, this is going to be something that's going to complete me and make me whole. Or sometimes power. People think, you know, if I get in the form of power, I'll be good. I'll be able to tell people what to do, and that'll satisfy me. And they try to fill the void in their life with anything and everything that this world has to offer, and they're completely missing it. Jesus is the only person who can truly complete us. Am I right? Jesus is. And he fills us with that void that we're missing when we're born into this world. And through his grace, Jesus gives us a peace like we can't imagine anywhere else apart from him. And Jairus knew that Jesus was going to be the only person who could bring him and his family peace and heal his daughter. And he went to Jesus. You know, and I can't help but to believe, you know, that day that we're going to see Jesus, I have a feeling that we're going to do the exact same thing that Jairus did here. We're going to fall at our feet because at his feet, because we're going to be in such awe and wonder and amazement that God is God and he is there, that we're going to do the same thing that Jairus did. And in that moment, you know what, Jairus, he didn't care about his political standing. He didn't care about who was watching him. All that he knew was that he had found Jesus and he needed Jesus' help. And look at verse number 24. So after Jairus had pleaded his case to Jesus to save his daughter, verse 24 says this. So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd was following and pressing against him. You know, Jesus here, after Jairus came, Jesus didn't even say a word. The Bible says that he went with him, and Jesus knew that Jairus had come in faith, knowing that Jesus was the one that could heal him. I am thankful for that this morning. You ever go to pray and you just don't know the words to form? I get like that. And in my mind, I keep thinking, God, you know what's in here. I need help on whatever's going through my mind. I need that. And I think that's what Jairus was going through. And at this point in time, Jairus's hope had been restored. He went out on a mission to find Jesus, and he found him. And they were going to go back to his house, and he was going to meet his daughter, and he was going to heal her. But before they were going to make it back to the house, there was going to be a detour that was going to happen that Jairus didn't know was going to come. Verses 25 and 26, let's look at them. So it says, now a woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years had endured much under many doctors, and she had spent everything that she had and was not helped at all. On the contrary, she became worse. We see the detour here. And we meet a woman who is in equal need of Jesus as Jairus was and his daughter. Here we have a woman that for 12 long years, she battled a sickness. And you know, at this point in time, she was at her breaking point. She didn't know what else to do. And in verse 26, it makes it known that she suffered a few things. She suffered embarrassment. She suffered pain, disappointment, financial ruin. Any of that ever happened in your life like this woman's? It has in mine. I know sometimes I'll get up here and I embarrass myself sometimes and I'm thinking, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to get up here again and do this. But God helps me through it. God helped her through this here, and he's going to. You know, the doctors at this time, they couldn't help her. They couldn't diagnose what was going on in her life, and they just kept prescribing things to her to get more money out of her. They collected their money, and they left her probably worse than they found her. And that's very sad. In spite of all of this, all the doctors that she's seen, all the money that she spent, her condition kept getting worse. It didn't get any better. But in verse number 27, it says this. Having heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothing. You know, the woman who was tired of being poked and prodded by doctors, she was tired of the unwelcome publicity that came with her when she walked in the room and everywhere that she went. But you know what? The best thing that she had heard, I think, in her life, not just in the last 12 years, was that Jesus was near. In that Jesus, she knew that he was going to be able to help her. You know, I talked earlier, Jairus, he had faith to come to Jesus no matter the cost, no matter if people were going to get mad at him for doing it, knowing that Jesus could heal. Jairus knew that Jesus had healing power, and he stepped out in faith knowing that he was going to be able to change the situation. And you know what? This woman did the absolute same thing. You know what? She was at her wit's end. I can't imagine the things that she had to have went through for 12 years. It was just unbearable. But she knew that Jesus was it. This was her last chance. And just like Jairus, she had the faith that Jesus could heal her. In verse 28, she takes that step and she comes to Jesus. Look what it says. Verse 28, "For she said, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be made well. And instantly her flow of blood ceased. And she sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction." You know, she had enough faith that if she just got close enough to Jesus and to touch his clothes, that he was going to heal her. That's pretty powerful to think that. That's the power that we need to remember that Jesus has. When things arise in our life and we don't think that we have any hope, we need to know that we can cling to Jesus just as she did. And I love what it says here. It didn't say that it took 2 weeks for her blood to dry up. It doesn't say that it took a week or a day. It says that as soon as she did that, it was instant. It was an instant healing, and it was a perfect healing. And with her faith and Jesus' power, the sickness that she had suffered for the past 12 years, it was gone. Just like that, in the blink of an eye, it was gone. And Jesus took her pain away, and he took away, I can't help but to think, that she forgot her embarrassment that she suffered. He gave her her life back, and that she was going to be able to go out into the community again, to tell other people, you know what, look what Jesus did for me. You know me. You know how I was for 12 years. Look what Jesus did for me. And she was going to be able to go out into the community and bear witness like not many people in this time was going to. She personally was touched by Jesus, and he healed her. But let's keep going in verse number 30. It says, "At once Jesus realized in himself that the power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' His disciples said to him, 'You see the crowd pressing against you, and yet you say, who touched me?'" I kind of laugh a little bit at this, because you think the disciples are looking at Jesus, and he says, you've got all these people around you, and you're saying, who's touched you? Have y'all ever been in a large crowd before? You bump up against people all the time. I know when we go down to watch Tennessee play football, there's 100,000 people that are leaving that stadium at once, and you're shoulder to shoulder with people butting out. I kind of imagine that's how the crowd here was with Jesus. When he came, he was the best teacher of this time. He could relate to people like nobody else could. And not only could he relate to people, he was healing people in the process. So people knew, I can get something out of Jesus. And they come that they can hear him teach, and they can be healed. So there was a whole lot of people that was around him. And to think that the disciples looked at him and said, "Jesus, all these people, and you're saying, who touched me?" But Jesus knew who touched him. I imagine that he was just giving this lady a chance to step out publicly and admit that she came to be healed from him, to admit that Jesus had enough power that he could help her. You know, Jesus knew that she had enough faith to come, but would she know that she had enough courage to say, "You know what, Jesus, it is me"? To speak up in this crowd, would she have enough faith to say that, "You know what, Jesus healed her"? You know, today, God does the same thing with us. Jesus does. He does the same thing with us when we accept him as our Savior. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." You know, God calls us to not only believe in him, but to confess what he's done for us. And you know what? Sometimes that's hard, because you do get embarrassed. I know some people don't like getting up in front of people. But you know what? Just like this woman, when Jesus healed her, if you're truly touched by God and he comes into your life and he saves you, you're going to have the courage of the Holy Spirit now inside of you to go out and tell everyone about Jesus. No matter how shy that you are or how that you are, he's going to be inside of you and he's going to give you the courage, just like he gave this woman here to do this. And look at what she did. verses 32 and 34, she does admit. And it says, but he was looking around to see who had done this. And the woman, with fear and trembling, knowing what happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed. You know, this woman did the exact same thing that that Jairus did. He came and she fell at the feet of Jesus, knowing that he had saved her. And you know what? I can't help but to think sometimes, you ever get with your kids sometimes and you tell them, you know, I know that you've done something. And they just spill out everything that they've done. They completely tell on themselves. It's kind of how I think that this woman was here. She knew that Jesus knew. Jesus knew that she knew. So now she was just going to tell him everything that had happened. And you know what? This woman, she answered Jesus in front of a crowd, and she had enough boldness to let others know what he had done for her. So I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have the same boldness to let others know what Jesus has done for you, just like this woman had? Let me ask you this. When's the last time that you publicly shared your faith with someone? You got in that conversation with someone to say, you know what, this is what Jesus has done for my life and how he changed my life, and this is what he can do for yours. Think about that. When's the last time that you did that? I know for me it's probably longer than I want to admit. But every day you go out onto the mission field. We all do. Whether it be to work, kids are getting ready to go back to school, or anywhere at all. And how often do we tell people that we interact with on a daily basis about Jesus? Because if Jesus is inside of you, he's going to come out of you in one way or another. You're going to tell people about Jesus, or you should. But when's the last time you consciously did that? Not just trying to be good to someone and to show them the love that Jesus shows. When's the last time that we did that? You know, I was thinking too, as Christians, and y'all probably get the same laugh out of this as I did, we should be the happiest people in the world. But are we? No, we're not. You think about it, you go out to eat on Sunday afternoon, and the wait staff at the restaurant that you're going to hates it on Sundays because church people are rude. They're awful. Have you ever seen church people on Facebook? They're the worst. They really are. They can say everything that they want to through there, but we should be the happiest people in the world, and we're not. You know, knowing that Jesus died for us and rose again to pave a way for us to go to heaven should give us all the excitement that we should need to light that fire in our life. But a lot of times, we don't. We're negative. Y'all negative people sometimes like I am? Melissa tells me a lot that before I even say something good, I think about the negative in the good, and that's the truth. But as negative we can be sometimes, the good illustration that I thought that can give you a picture of how Christians are sometimes, we're like spiritual Eeyores. Y'all know Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh? The donkey that his tail just constantly keeps falling off, and you'll talk to him and somebody will say the sun's out and he says, well, it's going to rain tomorrow. He's someone that's just always looking at the negative. And you remember Winnie the Pooh, his favorite phrase was, it's not much of a tail, but I'm sort of attached to it. Y'all ever heard him say that? His tail would fall off and they'd just tack it back on. Eeyore was one, when things were bright and good, he would put a negative spin on it. Some people would say that Eeyore is a Mackenzie at times, but Eeyore was one that always put negative spins on things. And a lot of times, we do the same thing. We focus on the negatives and the hardships that we go through, rather instead of thanking God for the good things that he has done for us. You know, I said it last week, but the first time hardships and trials come into our life, you either do one of two things. You blame God for letting this happen to you, or you pray to him and ask for his help to get through something. But we need to remember that God is good, and no matter what we are going through in our life, he is working all things for our good for those who believe in him. And that's what we need to remember. Every day that we have, that we get to wake up and we get to breathe, is a gift from God. It's not guaranteed that we're going to wake up tomorrow. It's not. And that is so important to remember, that we need to live our life every day for Jesus and not just on days we come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. Every day is a day that we need to be thankful for what God has done for us. And we need to be a witness to tell people, just like this woman did. And I imagine when Jairus' daughter gets healed, the same way that he's going to be. And everybody that Jesus has affected throughout all of time needs to be screaming and shouting what Jesus has done for you. We don't need to keep it inside. But When you think all this was happening, Jairus went, he found Jesus, there was a detour, he got to witness someone be saved and be healed. But Jairus, he was patiently waiting. During all of this, I can just imagine, he was just standing there in awe thinking, you know what, I found the real deal. Jesus is going to be able to come, he's going to be able to fix my daughter, and we're going to be able to go on with our life. And you know, at this point, he had found Jesus, and Jesus healed someone right in front of him. So now, it's time for Jesus to go back to his house and to heal his daughter. But verse number 35 happens, and it's something that just, it breaks my heart when I read it. It says, "And while he was still speaking, people came from the synagogue leader's house and said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?'" You know, the news that Jairus feared finally became his reality. You know, his daughter died. You know, at that point in time, Jairus was thinking, you know what? It's over. My daughter is dead. I got to Jesus. I didn't get him back fast enough, and this happened. I can't imagine the emotions that he would have felt here. He had come so close to having his daughter healed, and time had ran out. And you know, in our own lives, how many times have we thought that a situation was too far gone, and there was nothing else that can be done? That your worst fear had become your reality. You got the news that you knew was going to happen. You had feared it. It was the worst thing in your life that could happen. And you know, the darkness sometimes just seems to creep in and control us. You see, fear and faith, they pull in complete opposite directions. Faith goes one way, fear pulls us back and goes another way. And when we get in situations where we let fear dictate our entire being, we allow that fear to creep in and be what controls us. The unknown terrifies us. Does the unknown terrify you all today? It terrifies me. I told you earlier, I don't even not like knowing where we're going to eat, especially on vacation, because there's so much good food when we go on vacation because we're getting seafood, and it's the best food in the world. But here in our lives, fear grips us. It terrifies us, and this is what was happening to him here. But look, I love what Jesus says in verse number 36. It's going to be the last part here. It says, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." And I don't know where you're at right now in your life, but this is news that can be a great hope for you. God, the God that's over everything, the God that created everything, cares for you, and he's telling you to don't be afraid, only believe. As hard as that is at times, you just only have to believe that God is going to be helping you through the situation that you're facing in life. I said it earlier, fear and faith pull complete opposite directions. Fear holds us captive. For me, it's like fear sometimes when it grips me. It's like when I read about Paul. He was thrown in jail. He was shackled. He couldn't move. That's what fear does to me sometimes. It completely paralyzes me. But faith in Jesus will give you the power and the peace to set you free from those chains and those bondage. And he's the only one that's going to be able to give you peace. Nothing from this world is going to be able to give you peace aside from Jesus, no matter how much you think that it is, no matter how much money that you can get, power, drugs, anything that you have, nothing is going to be able to give you that complete peace like Jesus can. You can't find it anywhere else other than Jesus. So look with me at the next set of verses. We're going to go through 37 through 43. And it says, "He did not let anyone accompany him except Peter, James, and John, James's brother. And they came to the leader's house, and he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And he went in and said to them, 'Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep.' And they laughed at him, and he put them all outside. And he took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the place where the child was. And then he took the child by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kum,' which is translated, 'Little girl, I say to you, get up.' And immediately the girl got up and began to walk again. She was 12 years old. And this they were utterly astounded. And they gave them strict orders that no one should know about this. And he told them to give her something to eat." You know the parallel between this. How fast did he heal the woman of her affliction? It was immediately. How fast did he heal this girl? As soon as he got in there and spoke to her, it was immediate. There was not a delayed reaction. But when we think about it, think about the emotions that Jairus had went through. Y'all emotional people sometimes like I am? I let my emotions go on my shirt sometimes. It's like a pin. We go to Disney World and we get a pin. We put it on us and like it's our first visit. Sometimes I do that. You can tell I'm mad or if I'm happy or if I'm sad. But Jairus here, he had a lot of emotions running through him at this point. He went from going on a journey. He probably went from hearing about Jesus to going and finding Jesus. To have someone stop him from taking Jesus to his house, to witnessing a miracle in him healing a woman and her publicly professing Jesus in front of a crowd, to hearing that his daughter had passed away, to Jesus coming back, throwing the people out of his house, and then healing his daughter. Just the emotions that he would have went through. Jesus here had done the impossible for Jairus, and he wants to do the same thing for you this morning. I've said it a lot, and it's very true. Life is hard at times. It's very hard. Things can change in the blink of an eye, but there's one person who can give us comfort and peace like no other, and that's Jesus. This morning, you may be struggling with something, and like this woman and Jairus, you know that you need Jesus to intervene to help guide your path and to help get you to where you're going, to be that light in the darkness when you think everything is closing in on you and you're suffocating, to be that light to turn on and to help guide your path. You need Jesus just like these people did. And to just know that whatever that you're going through, Jesus wants you to lay it on him. We heard it earlier. It says to cast your burdens onto the Lord and he will sustain you. God wants to sustain you, but the thing that stops us more often from letting God do that than anything else is ourself. We have to give up the control that we think that we have in our life, fully turn over the reins to God and say, you know what, help me in this situation. You be the person who guides me and let him take care of you because he's the only person who can. So I'll have our worship team come back up here. But as we're getting ready to close, I want to leave you all with a story. I heard this a couple of years ago and thought that it kind of fit with when things go on in our life that we don't understand. So a pastor asked one of his older deacons in the church to close the service in prayer. Sometimes that's scary, ain't it? Asking your older deacon to pray. You don't know what's going to be said. So he began to pray, "Father, I don't like buttermilk." The pastor was a little concerned. He said, "Father, I don't like lard." You know, the pastor kind of opened his eyes and started to look at the deacon. "Father, I don't like flour." The pastor was thinking, "I need to get up there and I need to stop him at this point. But Lord, when the buttermilk, the lard, and the flour are mixed together and they're baked, they make something wonderful. Father, I sure do like biscuits. So, Father, help us to know that whatever you're mixing in our lives will work out for the good, even when we don't like the ingredients that our life has thrown at us right now." You know, this morning, you may not like the ingredients that's being thrown on in your life. You may be letting fear rule it, and things may be going on that you have no clue how it's going to end. But just know, just as this person prayed, God is mixing and he's baking. And when he gets done with your life, it's going to be better than biscuits. And biscuits is good. Can I get an amen? Biscuits is good, but your life is going to be better. So in the middle of chaos that life throws at us, just know that God is there. He's willing to fight for you and to go before you in every situation. I'm thankful for a God that will never leave me. And today, if you don't know this Jesus, you can. You can come to know him. David will be here. Someone will be here to talk to you about Jesus. And if you don't have this peace in your life that only God can give, maybe you need to look at your life. You need to think, am I living my life for Christ or do I even know Christ at all? Because apart from him, like I said, we're not going to be able to do life and to do it right because the peace is not going to be there. You can try to cram any and everything that you can inside your life, but unless you have Jesus, you're not going to be complete. So if you need to know him this morning, you can come. If you'll bow your heads and you'll stand, we'll pray. Our Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the many blessings that you have given us in our life. Lord, just thank you for knowing that no matter what we're going through in life, no matter the situation that we face, even if we don't like what's going on or the ingredients that's giving us at this point in time, know that you're working all things for our good. To know that you're going to help us in those situations and that you're going to be the one that can give us the true healing in our life like no other person can give us. Lord, thank you for your Bible and your word. Thank you for showing us these miracles that Jesus performed while he was here. Lord, just thank you for that. Thank you for the word, God. Lord, I just ask you if there's one here that's not saved, just speak to them, Lord. Just push them in the direction that they need to come up here and accept you before it's too late, God. Lord, if there's someone here that's struggling with fear in their life, God, this morning, or just the unknown, just give them the peace and comfort, God. Help them to grow closer to you and to you to guide their path as they're going through their life, Lord. God, we love you and we praise you. And it's your name that we pray. Amen.
That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Brings our chaos back into order, who makes the orphan a son and daughter, the King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me. This is amazing grace.
Thank you all for being here today. Remember what I said, be a witness to someone this week. If you don't share your faith publicly like you think that you need to, there's a problem there and you probably need to do it. So this week, try to openly share your faith with someone, what Jesus has done for you. Y'all have a good week.